Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is episode 52. Hey Brad.
Hi RJ.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm pretty excited.
Good. Me too. We're going to be joined by another guest this week, Tyler Curtis.
Yes, but the pleasure is all ours though.
It is always.
Truth be told.
Always. So yeah, so we're going to chat with Tyler, and he picked a show that I was at a couple years ago. But Brad wasn't because he lives on the other side of the world in Phoenix.
Yeah. I'm just not that good of a fish fan, really.
The show we're going to talk about is January 1st, 2011. So we're going to chat with Tyler, and you'll hear part one this week and part two next week. So
I've dubbed it the Stick Show.
The what?
The Stick Show, because it's all ones.
You know? Ooh, very good.
What do you think?
Did you do a logo or anything?
Yeah, I mean, we had like a think group on it and all that. But
did you guys do some whiteboarding?
Definitely brainstorming.
All right, well, hope you all enjoy it. Let's get into our conversation with Tyler. Thanks for tuning in. This is part two of episode 52 with Tyler Curtis. We're gonna jump right into set two of 1111 and and chat about it. So enjoy. We'll see you back here after the encore.
To act casual, can't stop. Thank you. Thank you. myself a blunt. Solo.
All right, so that was set 2 of January 1st, 2011 from MSG. Cross-eyed, into Twist, into Simple, Sneakin' Sally, into Makasupa, into Bowie to close it out, and then Fee, Frankenstein, Closer, or Encore, and Paige on the guitar on Frankenstein. So I'm glad we got to talk about this, guys, because this is just one of those sets that just flows, you know, like pure sort of energy start to finish. They're few and far between, but they, you know, when they happen, it's amazing. Like Randall's of Third Night of Randall's, or even the Last Night of Miami this year, you know, many others. But Tyler, this is sort of your second show. So what was your takeaway kind of walking out of MSG?
Well, you know, after the first set, I think that like I was going to be happy regardless. But, you know, to hear Cross-Eyed and Painless open up.
Yep.
Like, you don't, I don't know, like, when you're, I don't know if everybody goes through this, but when I first saw Fish and the second time, and I still get it, I am so absolutely, like, I don't get worried, but I speculate so much, like, what they're going to open with, and then when they come out of nowhere and open up with Cross-Eyed and Painless, like, I wasn't even thinking that. It was just, I don't know, that was a great, great opener for a second set, and I think it's what, like, I was sold already, and everything after that was, you know, even the Makasupa, like, I don't know, everything about this set just, like, speaks perfect Fish in 3.0 to me.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, the cross, I feel like the jams also, like the Cross-Eyed, Twist, Simple kept getting better. Like the Cross-Eyed was great, and then the Twist was even better, and I thought the Simple was like the kind of the best. Icing. Yeah, the icing on it. And so that's a.
I thought the Twist was amazing. I thought the Twist is really
so good.
I love that song anyway, but when they jam it like it, it's just like they nailed it. Oh man, so good.
And it's an overlooked version too, I would argue. Right. Because like, you know, how many, like when someone's mentioning 1111, they're not mentioning, they're typically not mentioning the Twist. They're usually mentioning like the Simple or like, I don't, like.
The Sally or the Cross-Eyed, yeah.
The Sally, yeah, or the Cross-Eyed, yeah. But like, I don't know, like most of the talk that I've seen hasn't been surrounded around the Twist. But yeah, I think that maybe it's because it's around such like songs that people love, and then it being a great version, it might get overlooked that way. But I love the song and I love the version. So
it's yeah. Big Brother wasn't there, Piper wasn't there, so maybe that's why, you know.
Maybe that's what. Yeah, yeah. That if they would have, I mean, let's be honest. If they would have thrown that in, people would have been flipping desks that weren't even around.
Right. Yeah, it's awesome. Crazy, man. That three song combo, it's like, you know, the so last year you get the Randalls, you know, Chalk Dust, Light Tweezer, you got like some of the Dicks show, there's like a Sand Ghost, something from one of the, you know, there's just like these epic kind of three song Sand Ghost Piper from Dicks. I think even Miami this year, there's or at least the Third Night of Miami that I was very impressed with had the
1-2, yeah.
You know, this, the Down with Disease, Light, Sneak and Sally, or it's just, it's cool when they go and they kind of push into these, a triad like that. That's just like keeps getting better and more interesting, you know?
I'd be interested to see what it, like what initiates those songs, like, or what initiates that block of like, of creativity. Like, is it a song that's just a great vehicle? Or is it like an overall consensus that they really wanted to reach a peak at that point? I don't think they verbally do it, but, you know, it might be done, you know, I don't want to say telepathically, but, you know, through music communicating that way.
Yeah, dude, sure. It's a great question. It's like, Brad, I feel like we've talked about that so many, or tried to pose an answer to that so many times. Like,
right.
You know, like how do you figure out what they were actually intending or versus not, you know? It's it's
is
crazy.
It like, oh, keep it up, or is it like, you know, like, all right, let's cool it down now, or is it, you know, or is it nothing at all, and is it just kind of like where the music takes them? I'm sure it's the latter, and I'm sure that they're not planning shit out, but it's that idea that they could be, or that they're aware of what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's funny too that one of the things I think that make this second set stand out to me is the Sally after that awesome three set or three song opener. right? Because even like Randall's last night, I think like Waiting was the song that followed that amazing, you know, three song intro to the second set of that last night from Randall's. And Waiting is just like a cool down, right? I mean, Sally to me is anything but a cool down. It's just like a dance number, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it makes this, and especially going back and listening to it, I was like, man, it's just a nonstop set, really.
Yeah, and it's two, and what I really like about this set is that, like, people will look at Phish like, oh, they do a lot of fun covers, but the covers that we see, like, in this show, excuse me, are 100%, like, dead serious, like, they're freaking, like, going to, because, all right, My Soul, they open up with, like, some absolutely great jams in that first set, not to go back, but, you know, mm-hmm. and then Walk Away, and then they go, and then they open the second set with Cross-Eyed and Painless, which stands on its own legs. It could be considered, like, a piece of Phish music, the way that they turned that song into their own, and then Sneakin' Sally, which, like, again, like, wasn't a joke by any means, and was very was a vehicle, I would argue, because it was a cool down, but it was, you know, even though it wasn't transitioned into, but it definitely was a cool down from the simple, I would argue. Mm-hmm. But still fun. And then to go into Makasupa, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
To talk a little bit about the Analyze Phish podcast and Harris Whittles and all that stuff that happened last week. So I think everybody knows the premise to Analyze Phish, but he tried to like turn Scott Aukerman into a Phish fan who's kind of like on the fence or not really. He just wasn't aware of it and didn't like it. So Harris tried to turn him into a fan, and he, like, the first episode he played covers that Phish played. And he was like, Scott's like, why would you play me? Like, they sound like a shitty cover band, you know? But yeah. to us, it's like when like, to go to Tyler's point, like My Soul and Sneak and Stuff, all those, they don't sound like terrible covers to us. They're like Phish songs to us. You know what I mean? That they've kind of made their own, like you said, and they put their own little flavor on it. But yeah, if you look at Cross-Eyed, you know, and compare it to the Talking Heads version, you have to kind of ignore like the first 3 minutes, right? Because they don't really do David Byrne justice, maybe. I mean, they do, but they turn it into this amazing vehicle of just a great jam. And it's, to me, a Phish song. And even though it's somebody else's song, they've made all those covers their own, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally?
Well, yeah, I agree with you, Brad. God.
A little bit?
You are right, bro. Bro.
All I'm looking for is confirmation.
The simple, I thought, in
you
this
are
set,
Kang-firmed.
Kang-firmed. the simple in this set, I thought, was like the crown jewel for me, like that beautiful jam, and then at the end, there's like this little outro jam that's just something all on its own, you know? And just really, really... I don't know, just really fun way to throw in, and not really expected in the middle of a set like that, I don't think.
Yeah, what about the Makasupa? I think it's a little awkward now that, you know, Trey's supposed to be, you know, post-treatment and rehab and all that, right? That, like, the song is directly related to drug abuse.
Yeah.
Well, let me,
drug use, maybe?
Let me be the one to say that while Trey isn't smoking blunts, I'm pretty sure there, and people, this is another thing that people get mad at me. I know people that are in treatment that are able to smoke pot. So it's like, I understand, like, I think that Trey can make those jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I think it's funny,
right. Just
but
a joke,
like
right?
Some, but there's going to be those people out there that are like the stone cold sober, like, that are going to say, like, Trey, like, even Trey joking about that stuff shows that he's not really, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know the answer to it. And I don't, you know what
well,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think anybody does. But yeah, I think it's a really good point to make, and I wrote it down in my notes because I said, like, you know, like, Trey talks about rolling blunts, what the fuck? everyone looked, like, because I remember everybody looking at each other and just being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would argue, like, you know, maybe that people in recovery shouldn't do like real actual drugs and like, you know, marijuana.
That's not a real drug.
Is it a real drug, or is it like, you know, something less dangerous? So
it's actually a gateway drug, RJ.
I know, so, it is.
Straight to
relaxation.
Like their officer said, so
straight to relaxation. It's a gateway to cooling out.
It's a gateway to just kicking it. But yeah, you know, Tyler, your point is well taken. I've thought about it a lot, like especially during Makasupa. I'm like, really, like, I wonder. Mm-hmm. I'm curious because I like the, like, he talks about after the New Year's stunt. I could imagine him going back and, you know, if he's otherwise sober, getting home to his apartment probably at like what, 3 a.m. on New Year's Eve, and just like,
he lives in New York City, man. Yeah. He can do it. Yeah.
He wants to just chill out for a little bit, you know.
You don't have to drive the subway route. Like you don't have to. The subway is not something that you have to steer. He's not operating any heavy machinery.
He's not driving the subway car like Casey Jones.
Yeah, no. Maybe Trey will into Chicago. Maybe he'll drive the train to Chicago.
Like Homer and Mario.
That would be too funny.
Well, this is so the as any set that ends with the David Bowie is all right with me. So that's I think that's a solid closer. What an awesome six song set or five song set, which you don't see that much anymore. So Tyler, this is really really cool to revisit. And then there were
six songs, but.
Six, yeah. Three, oh, four. Sorry.
It was four songs in my heart, though. So.
Yeah. It was basically five songs because, like, Makasupa was more of a skit.
Makasupa doesn't count. And Twist without Piper's a half a song.
Anyway,
there we go. That's some reasoning I can get down with.
So Tyler, you after going back and revisiting this again, what was your sort of big takeaway re-listening to this for this show?
Well, you know, I didn't even think that I would find anything that, like, I overlooked. But, yeah, that twist, like, I love that version, and I knew that I loved that version. But I hadn't listened to this show in too long because, like, since then I've been to Randall's. So, like, Randall's has become what I go to listen to when I don't want. Like, if I want to go listen to something that I wasn't at, I go listen to some early Phish for the most part nowadays. But, like, you know, this was some amazing 3.0 that I was at that, like, I overlook, and I think the twist was probably the takeaway for my overlook for the show.
Got it. Nice. That's a good one. Brad, what about you?
My takeaway?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this, but for me, 3.0, I listen to, like, recent shows, recently played shows, close-in-time shows, and I don't often go back to, like, 11 or 12. So it's nice to go back to 11, and this is just a gem of a show, especially the second set. It's old school first set, as we talked about, and I really enjoyed it, man. You know, and it's not a 1.0 show, but it's kind of like reminiscent of one, but with the updated Phish, man, 3.0, and it's wonderful. I love it. I actually love Phish just generally, so.
Yeah, it's 1.0.
Awesome.
yeah, that's a good point. It's the stick show.
Brad created a brand for that, and it's going to roll out soon. this is so fun. Besides the weird, like, insane Reba experience I had with the dude who's on drugs.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to experience that, but I can assure you that he didn't disrupt mine. So.
Okay, good. Well, my wife is like a social justice like person, and so she's like, you know, she's worried about this guy's well-being because the security guards are dragging him out and taking apart the chairs, and I'm like, dudes, all I care about is listening to this fucking Reba. Can everyone like chill out and stuff?
Chill the fuck out.
You were about to walk over there and just kind of rip the seats apart.
Yeah.
Like, you're good.
I wanted to be like, dude, if you're having a bad trip, this Reba should just like help you ease back in, you know. But anyway, it was a really good show, and that second set is so fun.
Money.
One thing I was thinking about is the it's, you know, the this year in Miami, obviously they started with the New Year's show and then ended with the third, and then this was the last night of four or five around New Year's, probably the best, you know, or the most improvisational of the run. And it's interesting, like, not to end with New Year's Eve, but to like have a couple shows after New Year's Eve, so the pressure is not totally on to like do everything on that night. Like this one, 2015 in Miami, I see a lot of parallels between those two shows as like the last night of a run when they've been able to kind of get the New Year's thing over with and then, you know, kind of just unwind, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it's like the Walk of Shame show, because it was like, you know, all right, everybody raged out on the 31st, and now you got to come back and, like, you know, sober up and then get fucked up and then go see Fish again. So it's like, I guess it's like seeing Fish any other night, but I don't know. but it is definitely a weird vibe to see Fish. Like, even for me, because, like, I was looking for pieces of confetti and I couldn't find any. I found one of the dancers, that, like, one of the girls that dressed up for the meat stick thing. She was, like, dressed up still in her, like, Swedish get up, and she was like dancing around, and like I met her, like, because I was like, hey, I watched you on the webcast. Nice. Like, it was a cool vibe. I don't know. They were all.
Was she lost? You think? How is she still dressed up? That's amazing.
I have no idea, but I remember tweeting about it too, because like I was like, just met like one of the Swedish chicks from last night, and I know it was her because she was still in uniform.
That is amazing.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it was weird.
Maybe she just never left, and she was like, bro, this show is pretty sweet, still happening.
I read on Fantasy Tour that I'm supposed to go up into the ducks and, like, I'm supposed to hide out with the tank. I don't know. Like,
Right.
Arjun, did you go to the tweet-up on 111?
No, this is, like, before I knew about Twitter.
Even the tweeter then.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
2011, man. I was at one of those shitty Irish bars across the street from MSG, just drinking beers with Patrick.
We were at a shitty bar across from
MSG. Yeah, maybe it was the same one. I just, you know, didn't see you guys.
Yeah, we had the whole back area. There was some pictures from it, and everyone, like, was raging so hard the night before that people look, like, dangerously fucked up, like, still. All the pictures from the tweet up are phenomenal.
Awesome. Amazing. We'll try to find those.
Thank you guys. Like, this was a big highlight in my fan career.
Awesome, dude. Well, we really appreciate it,
you guys.
That's really nice to hear, man. Thank you.
It was a great pick of a show. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sweet. So, hit us up on Twitter, and hopefully. You know, these post July 4th shows that Fish will be putting on, hopefully some will be near us and we can get together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'll be sure to like promote this show and like the ones in the future too.
Awesome, appreciate it. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, over the Shakedown blog account that I run and over on my personal one. So cool.
Thanks,
if we're, Tyler. If we're worthy, man. Yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
No,
yeah.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Cool, all man. Right. Have a good day, Tyler. Thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, you guys too. Thank you.
All right, dude. Take it easy. All right. So thanks for listening to part two.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to chat with Tyler, and really good to try out this new format. And please, as always, let us know.
Right. Let us know via the Twitters, HFPod, and Gmails, helpingfriendlypodcast@gmail.com. We're on the internet too, which is like if you go to Blogspot and stuff.
So we'll be back now, because this will be weekly each set, so we'll be back next week with another brand new episode. So
it's a whole new fresh show.
Yeah. So hope everyone tunes in, and thanks for listening. Keep on rocking.